meeting of Exmouth Town Council, Monday the 2nd October 2017, 7 o'clock. Apologies for absence, please.
We've got apologies from Councillor Nash, Councillor Elson, Councillor Hill, Councillor Toy, Councillor Nicholas, Daryl Nicholas.
Yes, Daryl.
I think Cherry Nicholas on is on her way. Terry Darville?
Yep.
Anybody else?
Is that the lot? Thank you very much. We have one person that would like to speak in public forum, Mr. Peter Cowper. Could I ask you to come up, Peter, and say your piece, please?
Hi, thank you. I've come to speak about the situation in the museum. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for the opportunity to give the Town Council the latest news about it. My name is Peter Cowper, and I'm one of the 30 volunteers at the museum, whose buildings are owned by South West Water. The trustees and the management committee have taken up the offer from South West Water and are going to raise the funds to buy the museum before it is sold on the open market. So what is it we'll be buying for Exmouth? Everybody knows that a visitor to the museum can expect to see a selection of artefacts of the thousands which are in the museum's archive. And many of these, people tell us when they visit, bring back memories or spark stories. And in fact, we do have a lot of visitors, in the summer in particular, who come on coaches and in hotels, who actually say that they are very pleased to have found the museum and to have looked and seen the things that they remember. But what's not so obvious is the use which is made of the museum's knowledge in other ways. So I'm going to give you three examples, and you may not have thought about. First is about a six-year-old on a school visit who discovers, much to their amazement, that the tin bath in the cottage, which is attached to the museum, it actually is a cottage, the former cottage, is like the one that their grandmother used. And they were really amazed when they talked to their grandmother and said, "Did you really use one of those?" And she was able to say yes. Secondly, we have quite a large number of visitors from overseas. They were born in Exmouth or they worked in Exmouth and they've come back. The latest one was from Vancouver, he came to revisit Exmouth, and he turned out to be the last apprentice at Dixon's Boat Club. I was so very pleased to see a lot of the information that was put about Dixon. Thirdly, here's an up-to-date one, the general manager of A&J Carpenters, who were refurbishing Thomas Tucker. They came, we were able to supply the general manager with copies of the 1903 plans for of a refurbishment that was done in Thomas Tucker. Because he was looking, he had found something in the building that they weren't quite sure about. But we found, we rooted out the plans, a volunteer found the plans and gave them to him. Now, this knowledge is what we're trying to secure. What's being undertaken at the museum is a large task. That's pretty obvious. It will involve applications to a variety of sources, and we hope will involve many people in the town as well. If you have contacts who might help us, please let us know. And lastly, please come to visit the museum, particularly if you haven't been for a long time. It's open until the end of October on Monday, Friday and Saturday mornings, and all day on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can we send you a letter?
Certainly.
Well, it could be a community asset. It is one of the things that is sort of listed as a community asset, which gives the public 6 months actually go to the National Lottery and get money from them for a community asset. So I don't know whether they've thought about it, but we have it listed in our neighbourhood plan. So I don't know, I'd have to go through the district council to find out a bit more about it, but I know the district council think it's a community asset, then I think there is money, or you can try and get money from the lottery commission.
Bruce?
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to ask Peter how will he cope with the onset of the digital and social media to perhaps update the museum so it continues to be an asset. Sorry, Peter, I was just asking about how are you going to respond to the challenges of social media? Because I think we all admit that the museum is a great piece of heritage and culture for Exmouth, but with social media and the internet and things like that, how are you going to sort of keep it alive? Because a lot of people can do their research online and things like that. I'm not saying they can do the examples you gave, they can do that, but it's something that I feel that you should figure prominently in your, you know, when you get your new money to put this together, if you can.
Well, we have a young volunteer who's actually making sure that we are put onto social media. He and his sister are preparing it and putting it on now. Because there are people who don't use social media, but he does, and several of us.
It would help you, that's why I thought of it, because I'm sure that in today's modern age it would be a culture.
We're very aware of that.
Going back to the other question on East End District Council,
yeah.
Have you got...
Also, I was just looking it up online, actually, fact, to see, and it says that you have to register an interest, I think, with the District Council within 6 weeks of it being put on up for sale.
No, I can't hear what you're saying.
Sorry, you have to register an interest, I think, with the District Council within 6 weeks of it going up for sale, and then they can't sell it. People who are wanting to sell it, they can't sell it for the same level. But if you go online and look under community assets,
I'll do that.
All right, go online and it's got all the information there on how you can try and get them, raise the money,
yes.
And also stop them selling it within a certain time. It's worth it.
Okay, community assets.
There's community assets.
Okay, thank you very much.
If
you
like, I'll contact you, because I'm not sure whether the listing of the museum as a community asset only applies if it's at risk of being sold to somebody else, but because the museum have already got agreement from South West Water that it's going to be sold to them.
For 12 months.
I don't know if they can follow that. I'll check it out with East Devon and I'll let
Good.
You know.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much, then, councillors. Return to the agenda. Council meeting minutes. To confirm and sign as a correct record the minutes of the meeting Town Council held on Monday the 7th of September 2017. Somebody like to propose, please? Cool. Thank you, Mark. The 4th of September. Seconder, please. Thank you, Bruce. All those in favour? Thank you very much. Matters arising from the minutes. Page 163. 164. 165.
Sorry, Chairman.
164, yeah.
Utility under the 17.1 under urgent business guidance for councillors. So I'm sure all guidance, all councillors would appreciate guidance on this matter. What is or is not urgent business? Sorry, I wasn't keeping touch.
I spoke to Leslie Smith, who's the County Secretary for the Devon Association of Local Councils, and she said that in Town Council legislation there is no such thing as urgent business. The only grounds on which you could bring something up under urgent business was if something's life-threatening and you needed a decision to be made immediately. So the example she gave was if a playground was in the Town Council's jurisdiction and there was a piece of play equipment that was due to fall down and it would put somebody's life at risk, then you'd be justified in bringing that up under urgent business. Otherwise, the urgent business doesn't apply to Town Council business. Your choice of action is to call an extraordinary meeting if you want to table you know, you want to table it for a discussion, or it needs to go on to the agenda of the following meeting or a working party, which is what I have believed to be the case. Furthermore, she said that although you're quite entitled to bring up things for exchange of information in a council meeting, if it's not on the agenda, you can't make any motion, can't pass any motions or make any decisions that result in me acting on behalf of the council, which would include sending a letter. You can't do that unless it's on the agenda and it's formally tabled. And the reason for that is that a councillor might decide that they don't want to or they don't need to attend a meeting because there's nothing on the agenda that, you know, they deem is urgent. And they might then miss an opportunity to comment on something because something's tabled under urgent business that they're not aware of. So she said that's why, you know, which was my understanding in fairness. So in future, if people want urgent items raised, then they need to be deferred to the next council meeting, or we need to call an extraordinary meeting. Is that the explanation you were looking for, Mark?
Maybe I'll add before Maddie comes in, just a supplementary. In that case, do we delete urgent business from the agenda?
Can I ask what happens if something happens in town the day before the council meeting and we come into the council meeting and councillors need to know and make a decision in 48 hours? How are we supposed to respond?
You can't.
Well, that's
pathetic.
You cannot
make a decision without it being tabled on the agenda. So the only course of action you've got is to have an extraordinary meeting, which you can do at 3 days' notice. So you could call a meeting on your behalf for 3 days hence, but you can't. She was quite explicit about it. She said there is no you know, capacity within local council, town council legislation for you to deal with urgent business that results in a decision being made.
So what do you do in an emergency?
Well, the town clerk's got delegated power under emergency to expend money. So I can spend up to £1,000 in an emergency to get something done, but there is no urgent business. There's no.
So if somebody dies and there's a mass killing and accident, it came up or
you
wanted to discuss it, we couldn't discuss it.
Well, you can discuss it, but you
even
can't.
Even though we might have to do
no,
it, we have to make a decision on something.
You can discuss it, but you can't make a decision unless something's been put on the council agenda as an agenda item.
Well, it needs definitely to. I just can't.
Well, perhaps district council legislation is different, but town council legislation, it's quite clear that unless it's on the agenda, you.
Yeah.
Brenda?
Can I just say that we spent, I think, half an hour on this self-same subject at the last council meeting, and I'm not prepared to sit and go through all this again tonight. So can we keep it short and you know where we are? Thank you, Lisa. I think we've explained it very well. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I was going to second what Brenda said, that I think
right.
We understand what you said and crack on.
Thank you for your explanation, Lisa. Pass on. Page 166. 167. And 168. Thank you very much. Declarations of pecuniary interests and dispensations. Members to declare any interest they may have on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. No one? Thank you. Urgent business, I think we've covered that. to resolve that the press and public should be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of items in part two, well, there are none. To receive and consider reports and minutes of committees, working parties, other local bodies, and the town clerk, town manager as appropriate. The planning committee.
I'll do that.
Thank you.
I'd like to recognise the and receive the minutes of the meetings held on the 29th of August and the 11th of September and consider any reclamations therein separately with the planning agenda.
Seconder, please.
Thank you, Maddie.
Maddie, thank you very much. All those in favour? Thank you very much. Town clerk's report. We have the town clerk's report with the agenda. Does anyone wish to raise any matters on that report? Or do you wish to add to it at all, Lisa?
I've got anything to add to it.
No, nothing to add to it. Thank you very much. Town team and tourism forum. We've got the notes of the meeting held on the 6th of September. Does anybody wish to raise anything on those notes? So take those then. The LAG verbal update on a meeting held on the 13th of September. Steve, would you like to?
I'll keep it short, Chair.
Thank you.
Obviously, there was the issue regarding Lipton Business Park, which is later on. There was a concern raised by myself in relationship to the problems with Fear Park regarding the bullying and kids that are being bullied and having personal property taken off them. I was asked whether I was going to take it up with the college, which I have taken up with the college. But I have asked that, if possible, if the police have the facility to send a PCSO up there at certain times when the college comes out, to try and see if they can nip the problems in the bud. Because one of the instances has been where some equipment has been taken out of the play park and thrown up in the trees and then thrown into the pond, which the street scene came along and withdrew a couple of days later. But there's an ongoing problem with, for the better word, I suppose, undesirables that are going up to Fear Park and taking their anxieties out with the younger kids that are going up there. So we've got a meeting of the LAG this week, and hopefully we'll have a further update whether the police have been attending that. Thank you.
Right, thank you very much, Steve. Flooding and land drainage, a verbal update of the visit to Exmouth Fire Station on the 18th of September. Who would like to... thank you very much.
Well, we went to the fire station to see the things that the fire station firemen use if they have a problem down in the town with flooding. They do. They have a remarkable assortment of different things that they use, apart from warning rich boats. They are things to stretch over the sand and over the mud to crawl along and catch people on the end. And, various ropes and things that they throw at people rushing water. They just had things that made me feel quite relaxed, well not quite relaxed, but less concerned about what would happen if we had floods and they were really bad. Because the firemen can come in very quickly and do some very good work. As I say, they've got a lot of things up there that they actually use. And our fire station provides a team, one of four, I think, in the country that provides a team to go up further afield to help out in different field situations. And in fact, when the Somerset Levels were flooded, the firemen who were not on duty very often volunteered to go up and help people along the way as well. So they do a very good job.
Right.
The other thing was they have the ability to close roads very quickly. They don't have to wait for the police to come and do it. They can do it themselves.
They don't have to fill up any forms. Right, thanks, Pat.
Can I just add one line to that?
Certainly.
I think when we reported
Right, thanks, Tim. Neighbourhood Plan Steering Group, who've got notes of meetings held on 19th of July and 29th of August. Yep.
Can I say how successful that the ocean was on the 19th of September? We had 370 people took part in it. The video, I think, has had 35,000 people that have viewed it, which is absolutely amazing. The social media is going very well. I know Rob over there controls all the social media. But, you know, we've been very, very pleased with what we've done. And we're going, at the moment, we're going through the comment forms and seeing if there's anything that we've left out of the neighbourhood plan. So each of us has a section to go through, just to bring those. And I'd also like to thank all those members that aren't on the neighbourhood steering group for actually turning up on the day. I think it was one of the most successful days in Exmouth that we've had, and everybody appreciated it, you know, the consultation that took part,
right,
and the consultation that we'll take forward when we go forward with the approved plan.
Thank you very much, Pauline.
Right.
I spent the morning down at the entrance welcoming people in, and there was one group who came along who said, oh, we're going to have coffee first, but we don't have anything to do with this, we don't think it's a good idea, this, that and the other. I said, well, it's your opportunity to make your views known. They went off and had coffee, and I noticed that they got back into a car and went driving off, so they didn't bother to come in. But from the number of people that came in during that morning, I was there from 10 till 1, the majority coming out were saying they were amazed at how much work had been put into the plan. And they were right behind it. They were proud to think that they were part of Exmouth. So I think, you know, it's been a very positive thing to do.
Can we just thank Roy and Ian Cann and Keith Bange and David Radford for all the work they've put in, because to produce a document like that's been produced is just as equal to East Devon's local plan, really, because the information that's in that document is very valuable. Just heard about the museum, which is also in there as a community asset. So, you know, in the future, we'll be able to look at that and say, well, that's one of Exmouth's community assets. Even though it hasn't gone through the referendum yet, it's still a valid document.
Thank you very much.
Chairman, can I just say, I would like to congratulate both the town and the neighbourhood steering group for what you've done and for that presentation. When I came in, I thought it was extremely well presented. And I was absolutely delighted by the flood of people that came in and the questions they asked, but most of all, the number of young people who came.
Mm.
I think you ought to take that to your credit, that in fact, you'd covered so many aspects that were important to them, and all I heard was a very positive buzz.
Thank you very much, Christine. we come to County Councillor's report now. Richard?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. There's a few things to run through. Christine and Jeff have an opportunity to speak as well. So, an important Parish and Town Council conference is coming up over the next few weeks, which are all in the agenda item bulletin packs. It's very important, if you can attend, that you attend this, because you'll find out what the priorities are for highways for 2018 and where the budget's going, and what the expectation is for the Parish and Town Council, what they're going to have to deal with. So, Devon County Council will have to cut budget by £30 million for next year, and highways will lose some resources part of that, as we already found with mainly adult health and education one. I spent a good few hours in the Lumsden Youth Club not last weekend, the weekend before, was a great example of community work. So there's 30 or 40 volunteers there on a Saturday and a similar number on Sunday, so they're renovating the youth club at zero cost. All of its voluntary work and all the materials have been donated. I had the privilege of being invited to the AONB conference on the 27th of September. I can't recommend highly enough people visiting the dog sanctuary over there. It's absolutely brilliant facility. What they're doing is absolutely fantastic. There's two things I'd like to mention that came out there. I've got a copy if anyone wants to read and see it. So Exmouth had one group mentioned, and that was the Exmouth Art Club. So I think a lot of people around this table will be pleased to hear that Alison Greenhouse got a mention for her contribution to Exmouth and the inspiration. Woodbury Orchards won the Ackland Award, which is well deserved. Congratulations to the Parish Council and residential volunteers. We need more of this in Exmouth, an award, full stop. Volunteering work is going to become something we're all going to have to do to get our community in shape that we want them. Traffic review that has been going on for 2 years now is closed. We've insisted that it gets moving, it's taking too long. There's 46 traffic orders on it, there are two more left to measure and draw, which I believe, Christine, you're dealing with this week. So when they're done, these will be implemented by the end of this year. So they will come back to the three of us for approval. All the 44 out of the 46 are already approved. We'll then go to Stuart Hughes, the head of highways, for final approval through the legal department to make sure that everything's okay. So those traffic orders will be implemented before the end of the year, as far as we're concerned. The parade starts next Monday, the 9th, and Wall Street will be relayed 3 days later. And there's lots more coming. And basically, what I'd like to say is the three of us are working our backsides off to make sure that Devon County delivers the excellent in the surrounding area.
Just a quick one on the parade. It's the pavement on the south side. I delivered letters to every single shop. I spoke to the managers or the supervisors on Saturday. Good positive feedback from those shop owners and managers, saying at last somebody's telling us what's going on. So that's a good one. Unfortunately, it will not be slabs. It will be bitumen. It will be black and white bitumen, and basically because of the cost. On the opposite side, there are a number of broken slabs with a little bit of persuasion, maybe. As soon as they start work, I'll go down and have a word with the supervisor to see if we can exchange some broken ones for the ones they're taking up. So it shouldn't cost too much money, just a little bit of time. And if I give them some assistance, that shouldn't be too bad at all. The Royal Street. We had quite a few complaints come through, especially from Lisa, with people tripping over. In the cinema side of the road, where the bus stops, you can actually see where the four wheels of the bus stops because it's got divots in the deck. And when people cross from the Strand to the cinema, you can't actually see it and you trip. That's one of the reasons for doing that. And secondly, the Strand side, where you've got the loading bay and then there's some cobbles and then the bus stop, the cobbles are causing a problem because the buses are going over those and making them loose. So they're likely to be taken out and be replaced with tarmac. Okay, on that one. On the accessory side of things, we've had two interesting meetings this week, Wednesday and Friday, one at Star Cross and one at the Exmouth Yacht Club. And basically that was a meeting to talk to the users, not the user groups, but the users of the X. Lively debates, which were quite good. We've got a code of practices that we're now looking at, and also signage, which East Devon District Council have now been asked to sort out. And in 2 weeks' time, I will be going to Exeter City Council to speak to their chief executive with regards to Harbour Master. That is a priority. Christine?
Just quickly, as Richard has said, there were just two outstanding traffic orders, which I was going to inspect with Lee last week. Unfortunately, I wasn't very well, so we've got to try and get it fitted in this week. They are in just clarification in the user place and a question of Councillor Cole, Councillor Nash, sorry, was asking if it could be made a one-way into Refuses Terrace. I don't know what people's views on that would be interesting, but I was going to meet with Lee to discuss that. Other than that, at your last meeting, picking up on the notice of motion from Councillor Dunbar about fair trade and the resolution you have for that. I thought I would take this to Carrington. I was advised to take it to I tried to put it on the agenda as a notice of motion. I was asked to speak to Angela Welsh, who leads on this at Devon County. Since reply I have from her. It may be a bit late to have any further impact. The campaign on this is well underway. Nationally, the campaign has been taken to members of Parliament, and locally some of our fair trade town groups have been engaging directly with Sainsbury's in their area. Councillor Barry Parsons did raise the issue back in August, and there was some email correspondence between Barry, Phil Murray and myself. We concluded that, regrettable though it is, this was a matter between Sainsbury's and their customers. If we had a direct procurement relationship with Sainsbury's, it would be easier, but we do not, as far as I'm aware. Of course, we can say that the County Council is a strong supporter of fair trade. This is evidenced through our retention of fair trade county status over a number of years. It may be worth noting that we haven't engaged in other fair trade campaigns, focusing instead on the impact we can make across our own business. We've tended to leave the campaigning to local fair trade town groups, and we're better placed to engage in this kind of activity. In view of the fact that this has been going on for a period of time, I didn't know whether, obviously they were reluctant to put it on as notice of motion, that whether you want me to take it any further or what can be done. It looks as though it's moving forward, because we don't have a Sainsbury's in Exmouth or Buddy's Otterton. You know, I don't quite see how, you know, we can take it further than that.
What do people think?
Can I just confirm that I did write to the local government association and say that I thought that it ought to be raised nationally through the LGA with all its member councils, but I haven't had a response yet. So,
Richard?
I think when it comes to all issues, I mean, at the end of the day, same as customers. And the customers make a decision whether or not to buy things from them. So if you don't support what they're doing, you don't buy anything off them. It's the power that anyone has that's buying something.
All right, Christine.
Can I just feed back as it was a motion that I proposed? No, I'd like to thank Councillor Channel, Christine Channel, very much for what you've done and taking it up. And as I said, I believe at the time I knew that some progress had been made by County and by, you know, other ways, but I think we wanted, as a fair trade town steering group, to make sure that this town had its say. And I feel now that we have had our say, and we will continue in our fair trade steering group to push the case forward.
I think it's perfectly obvious that I have the complete support of County, you two, as a fair trade town. And I do think, you know, to keep an eye on what Sainsbury's are up to, if it increases in a particular way. It is difficult if there isn't a Sainsbury's in the town from that point of view. But well done, Exmouth, on raising it. I'm pleased that, in fact, it has been raised at national level.
Right, thank you.
Before you go on, I just wondered why East Devon District Councils haven't got a... Because we always used to go around the table and ask any of the East Devon District Councils if there was anything on their meetings that they would have brought forward. This meeting, but it seems to have dropped off the agenda somehow over the last few weeks.
No, it hasn't been on there for ages and ages and ages.
I'm just wondering why.
We can put it back on there.
Well, it would be very good, because I mean, I'm sure there's some things of interest that has happened in East Devon that
would include it in future agendas.
Well, like Jill's Working Together Day, which was very successful on Friday, which had all the charities there, and it was a very successful event with the Freewheelers giving us a really heart-to-heart talk on how it evolved and what they actually do. And some of the other things like the NHS, what the NHS are proposing, which was very interesting as well. And there's also things like, at the moment, East Devon's bought 25 council houses, or bought 25 houses to go in the council stock since April. Which not a lot of you might know. We have about 607 people on the waiting list to come into Exmouth at the moment, and it's going up very fast. But there's
we'll ensure it gets on future agendas then.
Thank you
very much. And thank you to the county councillors who've put in the hard work on getting a lot of this infrastructure done for XMAX.
I was just going to say, Chair, but thank you. To say how the conference was very helpful. The NHS item was absolutely packed and people were struggling to get the questions answered. And absolutely, I would recommend the conference to anyone. It put me in touch with the excellent Lada group, which I didn't really have any knowledge of beforehand. And I found it was, as a person who was just new to the council that way, it was a very informative way to network and meet people exactly as the Stephen said.
Thank you very much. Budgetary control and authority to spend. Authorisation is being sought for...
Excuse me.
Sorry.
I've just got an item that I'd like to report to people for noting. Exeter City Council, probably some people are already aware, there are issues surrounding the bus station and the bus station development at Exeter. And as chair of the Transport Partnership, I've been made aware of these. And I just wanted everybody to know and to realise that the development has now withdrawn from the scheme, and Exeter City Council are now putting the whole leisure and bus station redevelopment on re-tendering, but they are taking a 1 year gap, as it were, to get things organised again. Unfortunately, Exeter City Council decided that they're still going to go ahead with closing the bus station. So the whole area is going to be left derelict and going to waste. And what I intend to do is to circulate members of the Transport Partnership and see what kind of action, or if we send a letter to them, because they've got an emergency meeting on October the 12th about this. And if we are going to get, as a Transport Partnership, if we're going to get anything in, we need to do it fairly quickly.
Right, thank you, Tim. Budgetary control then, authority being sought for the following payments: A Plus Building and Stratton Creeper. Could I have a proposer, please, for those two items?
Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Second. Rob, thank you very much. All those in favour? Those against? Those abstaining? Very much. Motion understanding order 9, parking exemption for care workers. Mark, would you like to make this proposal, please?
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I'll try and briefly describe the problem here. It was raised, as so many issues are, by a resident who phoned me about 6 weeks ago. The carer, husband, he requires four carer visits per day. approached her care agency to ask if they would reimburse that, but she was told no, and that is common in, I've discovered, all care agencies. It is up to the individual carer to decide on and take responsibility for their own parking arrangements. £40 is an entire carer's salary for one day, so she lost entirely one day's pay. She parked on double yellow lines. She parked over 10 metres away from any junction, so she parked, if we apply disabled parking with badge rules, she parked entirely safely. But that's just what happened. I contacted Lee Cranmer, who I was found quite responsive, our highways officer, who sent me the details of the parking exemption regulations operated by council. I'll come back to those in a minute and explain the issue. As I began to study these Byzantine regulations, they're extremely difficult to follow, even with councillors, but I got there in the end. The following day, the patient's wife contacted me again to say that in the block of flats where they live, four residents received daily care visits. Two, including her husband, received four visits per day, and two of the others received one visit per day. So there were three carers involved. And of those four, three had received in the last 3 months fixed penalty notices. The other two were in different parts of Exmouth, not in this particular road. So three carers had received fixed penalty notices, and in fact, that is, I checked with Polly, £40 per day would be, in fact, the net payment for a carer undertaking a number of visits. I'll come back to the regulations because this is the key thing. As a result of the article in the journal, which I have to say was entirely accurate, I'd like to say on this occasion that I'll be reporting a bit. No, it was an entirely accurate piece in the journal, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Six carers contacted, three by email, three by telephone, and I have their details. They had all received fixed penalty notices in the last 3 months. And that is the total, therefore, of, I think my maths is right, nine fours, 36, like £360. But it's come out of carers' salaries, who are mainly carers on minimum wage. And I felt that this was an issue. So I've come back to the essential issue here. The problem is that carers, let me come back to the key issue. The key issue is Devon County Council operate a permit system. Now you can download a permit. You can download a permit from their website. And there are certain categories of support workers, medical practitioners, nurses, those delivering dialysis equipment and so on, who can apply for a parking exemption, including roads that have double single yellow lines. Care workers can also apply for exemptions, but only in three types of road, and this is the key issue. Three types of road. The first type of road is where there is pay and display parking. Now we have pay and display parking on the seafront. As far as I know, there's very few people who live on the seafront, as far as I know. Very few patients. You can apply for a parking exemption where there is residence parking. Now we've debated residence parking for years, whether they should or should not be residence parking in the Colony, for example, or St Andrews or Victoria, or Imperial Road. But we have no residence parking in it. And the third is where there are roads where there is restricted parking, time-restricted parking, 30 minutes or 60 minutes. And those are in our shopping those are not relevant to our needs. Not only in parts of my road, but as you well know, in Exmouth, there are many roads where it is extremely difficult, and in many cases impossible, to find unrestricted parking, particularly for short periods of time. So those exemptions that are allowed are simply not relevant to Exmouth. And having talked to colleagues, as we do as district councillors, across the district, from Lyme Regis through to West Ex, the response that I'm getting from my district council colleagues is that it doesn't apply either in Exminster, in Honiton, in Budley, in Sidmouth. It isn't just an Exmouth problem. I'll come back to that in a minute. But it is very much an Exmouth problem because of our scale and our size and our demography and the sheer number of carers, the great army of community carers who come into our town every day to care for our residents. And so that is why it is an issue. Now, I've spoken to all three county councillors who have been hugely supportive. I can't say too much how supportive they have been, but also to senior highways officers at Devon County who have said that what we need in order to, and I gather Christine may say more about this than Richard as well, is that the leader of Devon County Council is fully aware that there is a problem here. There is a lacuna in the system, that what we need is a motion from this council to register our concern that we are simply not able to solve at the moment this kind of problem. So that's the justification for this motion. What this would enable us to do is to do exactly, to simply put care workers who are visiting patients for a limited period of time on the same basis as those of us who hold blue badges to enable us to park 10 metres or more away from the junction, to park safely but on double or single yellow lines for a relatively short period. Because these are relatively short periods. Paul will know more than any of us about that. And so that is the aim of this motion. And I think that's probably, Chairman, all I need to say. Just in conclusion, what I would say, given our demography of Exmouth, I want this to be seen as a town that cares for carers. Because when you think of what these people do and what they do, and I know from my own experience how valuable their work is, the last thing we need is a regulation that penalises them for just doing their job.
Thank you, Mark. The motion that Mark is proposing.
Sorry.
I'd just like to say that as a carer myself for 30 years, I know how difficult it is in Exmouth to park. And in the urban areas, in the rural areas, it's not so bad. But there is places like Victoria Road. In the summer, it's impossible. St Andrews Road. And you have to park and walk for long periods, of which you don't get paid, because you only get paid for the time. Like I worked for Devon County, so they did, but a lot of carers have to walk, leave their car in the car park, well, I used to leave my car in the car park, walk 25 minutes up to Bicton Place, because there was nowhere to park, and then walk back again. And, you know, it mucks up the whole day, because each person has an allotted time. And if you don't arrive at that time, that person's waiting there for you to come. And you might be half an hour late because you couldn't park your car somewhere. You're going round and round in circles looking for a parking space. So it's a very And that is to say, where it's got, as a matter of urgency, to allow community carers, could it be also Macmillan and hospice care nurses? Because they don't come under the NHS. So they don't come under health staff as such. And they are vital because they are usually going to people that unfortunately are mostly dying. And you know, often they have to spend perhaps a longer time than what, you know, because their time is not set, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I think if we added those in, and then at the end of it, to recruit many more carers and nurses, just at the end. So if Mark would accept those few words.
Chairman, I'm very happy to accept that amendment, and just to add, if I may, that I think the other aspect of this, the government have identified the need for an additional at least 30,000 more care workers. This is a growing need, and I think they're looking to the future as well, particularly in Exmouth. I'm happy to accept that amendment.
So the addition to community carers and
Macmillan and
right.
hospice care nurses.
Right.
Because those two are not under the NHS.
Right. Lovely.
They do both.
Thank
and
you.
Marie Curie as
well. Well, Marie Curie is another one as well, isn't it? But I think you have to name them, unfortunately, because if you just have the ones in nursing, it doesn't mean anything. Yeah, Marie Curie is another one, yeah.
Right. So the motion that Mark is now proposing is Exmouth Town Council requests that Devon County Council reviews its parking exemption permits as a matter of urgency to allow community carers, Marie Curie, Macmillan and hospice care nurses to park on double and single yellow lines for the duration of their visits, subject to the same road safety regulations that apply to blue badge holders, in view of the fact that the current exemptions are not applicable in Exmouth and many other Devon towns. The Town Council has regard to the government's support of greater care at home and the consequential recruitment of many more carers and nurses. That's seconded by Councillor Pauline Stopp. Could I have those in favour, please? Those against? Abstentions? Thank you very much. That's carried. And we have a further motion under Standing Order 9, Liverton Business Park Traffic Control Measures. Steve, would you like to address this?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Well, I'm sure there's not one of us that hasn't been up to Liverton Business Park and waited more than 15 minutes to try and get out onto the main Sultan Road. So we have problems. Imagine the problems that the fire service and the ambulance service have getting out. I mean, I've spoken to both sets of workers, and I have to, I suppose, declare an interest. I was an ambulance man for 20 years. And it's very difficult when you've got traffic turning in to Liverton Business Park, and you find a big fire engine and an ambulance with waves and blue lights trying to come out. And it is, there's no doubt, it is affecting their response time. And as we all know, time in an emergency means lives. So it's a quite simple motion, and it was discussed at the LAG meeting because Bill and I asked the fire service and the ambulance service whether they were having problems. And they said, yes, it is really restricting their ability to get out quick and prompt. I mean, just to add to the debate, Chair, I mean, I really do appreciate that whoever does it in Liffitts County, it's going to cost money, and I fully accept that. But I do think it would be money well spent, and there would be no reason why, if you like, as a landlord, I suppose, Clinton Devon Estate couldn't chip in something into the pot. And it would also be in the interest, I would have thought, of all the big units that are up there, because the car parks are full, you've got the backflow of vehicles trying to get out, so if there was a traffic light system, you get the normal flow of traffic out and you get more customers coming in. But it's essential if county or whoever does it, it's imperative that they, the emergency services out there, have the system that they can either trigger as they get into the, to the vehicle, so that by the time they get to the traffic lights, they're on green and they can go straight out. And there are, as I've said in the motion, there are those sorts of traffic lights at the new Middlemore fire station in Exeter, and they've got them in Dorchester, and they have them in other places. So I'm hoping that, you know, like with Mark's motion, and thank you, Mark, for your motion, that was extremely good, that we will be united and send this message, because something needs to happen before, you know, either there's an accident with an emergency vehicle hitting somebody, or there is something worse happens. So I move the motion, Chair.
Thank you very much, Steve. Richard, you wanted to speak?
Yeah, I also wanted to just come back on the health motion as well. Is it possible I can do that?
On the previous motion?
Just to make a comment on it. It's going to change the result of that. I just wanted to know.
Wait,
right
there. Yeah. So, could you take that first?
Yeah, do the health one first. So, brought me today a simple handout with a copy of the current regulations and parking, which fully supports what Mike was saying, and enables everybody to keep copies so they can speak to residents. So an awful lot of work so far gone into this issue of social care parking. Three of us are, as with everything going at this as a team. So far, just to explain where we're at, John Hart has had several meetings with Christine and myself, referenced this issue, and there is an element of support. I broached it with the chairman and the head of the Health and Adult Scrutiny Committee. I have a meeting to arrange with Tim Goldie, who runs, is the lead officer for adult health, and also with a chap called Chris Wilson at Highlands, who controls the traffic orders for Devon County Council. That to do something with this is going to involve all three scrutiny panels of Devon County Council working together. It's going to involve the legal department doing a hell of a lot of work. And I ask the patience from everyone while we get into this. I've been warned by a couple of people this is too much work, leave it alone, and I'm not prepared to do it. I think it's something we need to pursue, I think it's something we need to lead on. I think Devon County has an opportunity here to show the rest of the country that we need to change that we're going through from the CCG and the combining of social care with healthcare. I think Devon County can take a lead on this if we can get our heads around what the issue is. I will warn anything. This is to go back to your point, Mark, about Exmouth in particular doesn't really have any way of using the current regulations. And Exmouth seems to be overpopulated with yellow lines. Most of these yellow lines have been fought through by previous councillors, whether they be town or district or county councillors, have been asked for specific reasons. This is where the difficulty is going to come. We've put these yellow lines down, and now we're going to be asking that we're going to be parking these yellow lines. So there's going to be an absolute ton of work, and I would say it'll probably 12, 18 months before anything substantial comes out of it. But it's something the three of us are going to work on anyway. To go to Liverton, I support your motion, Steve. It's something that Jeff and I raising our first day at county with Highlands. But I don't think it's something that's going to get funded by Devon County. In my view, it's something that Clinton and Devon should fund. It's a business park owned by Clinton and Devon. I think we've missed a trick in planning previously, so we're on the third stage of living at the moment. And this has not been included as a planning requirement, and it's not been future-proof. So there's no infrastructure in place at Liverton to connect traffic lights in, so it's even more work than you would expect. And I think in the previous applications of Clinton and Devon, it should have been stipulated that they should have had this as a condition of planning, that at some point when the business park got to a certain scale and a certain traffic amount, that these should have been installed and paid for by them. And then, I think that's another example of where the district council and the county council would have to work hand in hand, particularly with Clinton Devon, to make this work. And I do think we need some form of traffic control. It's a case of when that traffic control is needed and what for. And I understand you're arguing about emergency services, but it's not just the emergency services need for, it's for general traffic, particularly on the weekend. But I don't know where we're at with Clinton Devon's next phasing of that business park, but I would have expected, if we don't get the work done before then, that we make it a condition of planning that Clinton Devon pay for traffic control of the entrance to that business park.
Fred?
Thank you, Chairman. I do have some slight reservations about this. One in the fact that I think we need to look at this in the round and the particular junction of that business park, which has grown enormously over the past few years. There is a yellow box junction at the entrance to the ambulance and the fire brigade park there, which effectively any car user should not be stopping on, because that's what it's designed for. Coming out of the main junction onto the Salston Road, we're coming out onto a 40 mile an hour speed limit. Whereas a slight change in that speed limit and extending it from the Cape Lane area, which is where the 30 limit starts, perhaps up past the Liverpool Business Park Junction, may go some way to contributing to slowing down the traffic. I also think that there is a further hazard on that junction, because a lot of vans will go and visit McDonald's and various other establishments there, and sort of half park on the pavement. And I've seen 7.5 tonners, transit vans, workers vans, you name it. They don't help with the whole sort of traffic flow to the junction. So I don't think it's just about getting out of the junction. And I'm sure that Derby County Council will probably look at this if they do get asked to investigate it, like they did with the pedestrian crossing down by Marks and Spencer's, which they did a study on and felt there was no need for it, whereas we all felt there was. So I'm assuming that Derby County Council will look at it, perhaps and put some funding into seeing where there is a need, and look at the statistics of it all before carrying it through. That said, I mean, anything to improve road safety on any of our roads in Exmouth has got to be a good thing. So I do support it, but I do feel there is some slight reservations about it.
Okay. Christine?
Yes, gentlemen, thank you. I contacted, because one side of the other side of the road is behind the wood, if you like. Contacted County and spoke to Tom Ward about this, and they completely agreed that there's something that needs to be done in terms of traffic lights there. What I understand is that when Liverton 1 was applied for, they didn't consider it necessary to put traffic lights in, but there is a pending application for Liverton 2, and that is where they intend to put a condition on to put the lights from that point of view. I think it's important to recognise, in fact, well, there's a considerable expansion for Liverton too. And Clinton Devon create those buildings and charge quite considerable rents for them. So I would have thought it was perfectly feasible in those circumstances for them to be paying have a condition put on that now. And certainly Tom said he would talk to Jerry Atfield to make sure when that application comes forward that such a condition is put on. So it's a question that I don't think there's any problem about it being necessary. The question is who's going to pay for it. And I think that it's apparent that all being well, it should be Clinton Devon Estates who are paying for it in the future. But I think it is important that this council has raised it, and a letter that in that respect, as I noted for a notice of motion, very helpful.
Thank you. Brian, would you like to speak on seconding this?
Yes.
thank you, Chair. I'm happy to second Steve's motion here. I've listened carefully to what everybody has to say, and I can't really disagree with anyone. What I do find is that most of the major cities and towns have lights on their fire stations. As a matter of course, they're everywhere you go. Why we haven't got one is probably, as Richard suggests, probably an oversight from planning some time ago. I agree entirely with Christine, when the phase two comes along, we ought to put a condition on which we can do through DMC, it shouldn't be a problem. But what I do have a problem with is who's paying for it. Because we, as ratepayers, pay Devon County towards our fire in our rates. And we are, heaven forbid, on occasions, we will be the recipient of the help from the fire brigade, whether it's a road accident, your chimney's on fire, your house is flooded. So we're paying for a service. And I believe that this should be paid for by half of, by Clinton Devon Estates and the other half by Devon County Fire Service. And I think to split the difference would be more than reasonable.
With respect, Chairman, the money goes to East Devon District Council on that. Go
from
the fire authority and the police, not
Devon
County Council.
And plus, as well, Chair, it's excuse me, it's private land. It belongs to Clinton.
And
it does not belong to Devon County Council.
But the facility belongs to Devon County Council.
No, the East Devon District Council.
Or do East Devon District Council pay the wages of the firemen and the ambulance man?
That's
no,
not.
Well, no. There we are. Public domain.
Cherry, please.
I do believe that we've missed a trick here. We're on Liverton 3 now.
Yeah.
So they look like should have put in a glass development.
Buddy?
Definitely at Liverton 3.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Chairman. I would suggest, if all councillors agree, that we show our concern to Lord Clinton. I find him very easy to get on with, and if he knew that the town council were worried about this, then he would look into it.
Pauline?
Well, I think we should write a letter to East Devon Planning Department and find out whether the condition was actually put on it on phase two, because
I think it
was. If a condition was put on it, then it's up to them to get it implemented. So I think it should go to East Devon Planning Department. Because the trouble is they've got hundreds of these things going on. It's quite easy for them to slip through the net. We've had it all with the key down at Exmouth here, the things that slip through the net there. But if it's left going for a long time, then nobody worries about it until somebody comes up and then it's too late. You know, we've had it before down Exmouth Quay. There was lots of things there that should have happened and didn't happen. And we decided that we should implement them, it was too late. And so I think that we should definitely write a letter to East Devon District Council, Planning Department, and ask them why. When, you know, why hasn't it been implemented?
Do we take the vote on the motion now? Right, we're now going to take a vote on the motion as it stands, proposed by Councillor Steve Gazzard and seconded by Councillor Brian Bailey. Exmouth Town Council requests that Devon County Council Highways urgently looks at installing a traffic light system at the junction of Liverton Business Park and Salterton Road, Exmouth. At present, emergency vehicles, i.e. fire and ambulance services, are struggling to get out of their stations due to the heavy volume of traffic at the junction, and precious minutes are being lost in response to 999 calls. This could put lives in danger. The emergency services require the type of system that can be triggered by staff when they leave their station, similar to those in use at Middlemore, Exeter and Dorchester. I'd like to know who would be prepared to support this motion, please. We've got the proposal, yeah. And those against? Those abstaining? Right, the motion's carried.
Would you like me to copy the motion to the Planning Department at East Devon District Council and see what feedback I get, and also to Clinton Devon Estates?
Yeah, I mean, if the Planning Department has done a 106 or
I'll CC it to East Devon District Council and Clinton Devon and follow up.
Yeah. Okay. Could I ask, should there not be a letter from the emergency services also stating that this fact here that they are having problems may support it?
Well, I can see if I can get a letter to corroborate it from the fire service to send with them.
And,
I mean, I can speak to the station manager that we met when we went to the flooding and land drainage working party.
Fire and ambulance service.
Okay. I'll see what I can do to get some corroborative support. Okay.
Right, thank you, councillors. That concludes the business of this evening.